Well, you pet stylist, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, Groom Pod, and hello, Susie.
Hello, Groom Pack. Welcome to episode 273 of the Groom Pod, recorded on October 11th, 2020 in Snohomish, Washington and Nashua, New Hampshire. Playing the part of Barbara this week is Chrissy Neumeyer-Smith, my favorite other podcaster from Creating Great Grooming Dogs. You guys have met her before. Say hi, Chrissy.
Hi, Chrissy.
This podcast is brought to you through listener support. That's you guys. And through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears, The Absorber Towel, and Stasco. Speaking of The Absorber Towel, I want to tell you of a great offer they've given us. If you put the Groom Pod in their coupon code and it's the first time you've shopped at their website, they will give you 10% off. And The Absorber Towel is really a great technology, especially for mobile groomers, but really for everybody. It feels like a cross between a sponge and a magic eraser, and it's saving me tons of laundry time, space in my mobile. It really sucks a lot of that water off that I was dealing with just gathering in my grooming trailer, and it makes the dogs dry a lot quicker. I cut them in half so they're easier to wring, and I store them in a bucket full of vinegar like a Tupperware with a top on it, and they're just making my life so much better. So if you guys are interested in testing out the Absorber Towel for yourself, you can go to dogloverstowel.com and put the Groom Pod in the coupon code, and you'll get 10% off on your first purchase. This week, we're talking house call grooming, our definition du jour will be rewards, and effective use of words in table training. So, what's new with you this week, Chrissy?
So, well, pretty normal week, but I have a couple of new customers, and that's always fun. As a house caller, you know, getting to know a new customer is exciting.
I hate it. It's my least favorite thing.
Really? Oh, I love it.
Barbara thinks, you know, she is a psych major. She thinks it's because they don't love me yet.
Yeah, okay, you do have to win them over.
Yep. Yes. I like going to the same people. I have anxiety about new people.
Well, I like it when it's somebody new and you get a chance to kind of come in and you meet their new dog. And actually, I did her dog last week and we didn't do a grooming. It was just a meet and greet, and she didn't even feel comfortable putting the dog on the floor at first. Her dog is just a barky Yorkie. And she was so nervous. And this time we did most of a grooming and she's all happy. But, you know, someone who could turn into a very difficult customer if you didn't give her exactly what she wants. So just give her what she wants. Yeah.
Yes. It makes such a difference if you actually can figure that out through that conversation in the first or second time. They tend to be extremely loyal then. The difficult people are extremely loyal because they don't want to deal with somebody else either. If they mesh with you, then that's it. You've got somebody for life. I totally get into that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, someone who wants to be catered to.
Yes. And someone who will pay for that opportunity as well, because oftentimes that comes with a big wallet. The people who really know how to push their weight around, they have the big money, and they don't always part with it, but sometimes they do, and that can make for some fun, too.
Oh, yeah.
So what? I had an adventure this week as I sit to wait for my axle to show up. The big news about the axle is that they sent me the wrong tracking number. Can you believe that?
Oh.
I know. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I'm watching the tracking of this axle. I know it got shipped. They send me the tracking number, and it's supposed to come 4 days later, which is pretty fast. It's coming from Texas to Washington State. And I pull up the tracking, and it definitely shipped, and it was on its way. And then it was supposed to be here on Friday. And on Thursday, I checked it. And it said, oh, it's coming Thursday. And I got so excited. And then I looked at where it was, and it was in Georgia.
Well, that's not helpful.
I was crushed. I was devastated because I called the welder and made the appointment and everything. Served me right. So I called the trailer place and they found it, and it was just the wrong number, and it is on the way. Like right now it's in Oregon, so it's awfully close. I'm this close. Oh! But in the meantime, I've just had a little too much time on my hands. So I decided to go riding, and my horse has a little mass where the girth goes, so I ride her bareback. I threw a bareback pad on her, and we went up the driveway, which is about a quarter of a mile, and we went past a backhoe and some kids on a quad, and they got off the quad and came over and petted her, and we stood there politely and had a nice visit. And then I headed up the road, and I passed a bunch of dirt bikes over at the church, and I went down past a lot of traffic. A semi went by, one of those gigantic RVs went by, a whole bunch of hot rods driving around, guys on bikes. I turned up the street, an empty street that occasionally we run on, and it has kind of a nice grassy area, just a little bit of a not a parking strip because we're out in the woods, but just a little grassy area, and then blacktop. And we started to walk down the street, and some kind woman came out to get her mail, and rain stopped, and I felt the electricity go through her body. I don't think she could see what was at the mailbox. And she freaked out, and the curb chain dropped off because I had it a little loose, so I had no brakes. She grabbed the bit in her teeth, and she just started to head towards home, which probably a mile and a half at this point on busy road. And I didn't have a helmet on. No. I know, dumbass. And I didn't have a saddle. And as many times in all of my years of riding school horses, I know how to do an emergency exit, generally with stirrups and a saddle, but I can still do an emergency exit off of a bareback horse. I could not get my leg over her back because she was going opposite directions as I was, and she's a gated horse, so she doesn't canter like a normal horse. She doesn't really know how to canter, so like the front half trots and the back half is cantering, and it's like riding popcorn. And I thought, okay, either I'm going to land on the pavement or I'm going to pick a spot in the dirt. Instead of swinging my leg over, I did a dive forward roll off of her front shoulder and landed in the ditch.
No.
59 years old, and I can still do a dive forward roll off of a horse and stand up and walk away. Now, I'm very colorful. I'm quite bruised. Today is the first day I can take a deep breath, but I feel pretty proud of myself that I was able to bail off of that horse.
And you didn't hurt your head riding around with no helmet.
No, I know. As I'm going off, I thought, oh, this could be bad for work. The thoughts that go through your head. Jeez. And she ran down the street, and the lady getting her mail came up and said, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. You know, I wasn't sure that I was fine at that point, but I said I was fine anyway. And I got up, and my knee was pretty fat, and I had a kind of a sore shoulder. But all of my broken already parts were taped up or in braces, like my ankle braces were on, and my shoulder was already taped up. So everything that was weak was reinforced. Yeah, it was amazing. The funny part was the horse ran into the backyard down the street at the end of the driveway, and guys were working on their cars, and they came out, and I could hear her snorting and scuffing back there and making big holes in their beautiful lawn. And the guy goes, we got to catch her. We got to catch her. And I said, don't worry. And I could, rain. And she went, whoop, came galloping towards me and stopped on a dime and stood right there. I was like, yeah, you embarrassed in the middle of my neighborhood.
Oh, hey, wait, I had a rider. Where's my rider? Oh, hi, rider. Yes. Hey.
I know her. Yeah. But of course, I couldn't get back on her immediately because there were so many people and she was just wired for sound. So we walked halfway up the road, and then I climbed up on a big rock in a driveway, and I plopped myself back on her, and we walked back like a nice, well-behaved lady. But cad horses, I tell you. I know there's a bunch of groomers out there that can relate. Yep, I know you can relate.
Get spooked and things happen. And who knows why? I have border collies. Same thing. You know, something spooks them. You don't know why.
Yeah.
It's a Tuesday and it's a high tide and, you know, somebody touched a metal pan and next thing you know, they're afraid of leaves. You know, it's just weird.
It is. But so hopefully I'll be back at work and I won't cause myself any more bodily harm by doing things like riding my horse in the middle of the day. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk about house call grooming. You know, I've been talking about Best Shot shampoo and conditioner for over 3 years now on the pod. You can rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. We've come to know Best Shot as the authority on conditioning, odors, shedding, knots, and tangles. They are true pioneers of iconic, innovative grooming systems, not to mention great all-around stellar folks to deal with, that I can tell you. The Ultramax Pro line was engineered for serious grooming professionals like you. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about their latest new Ultramax additions. Are you ready? First up is Ultramax Hair Hold Spray. It's aerosol-free, which we love. It provides a soft, natural look, but a flexible hold that can be layered on as needed. It's fast drying, so it's perfect as a sculpting spray, and it has a light sweet pea fragrance. I've been using it on Westie heads and Bichon heads, and I truly love it. But my favorite is the Max. The Max is a fragrance-free ultra concentrate conditioner and detangler. In fact, just one bottle makes over 10 quarts. It gives you reduced drying time and extends manageability, and it really makes those mats and tangles disappear. If you add it to your recirculating bathing system, it becomes a de-shedding machine. You can get optimal coat performance in reduced time. Not to mention, it's in a tiny bottle and you can carry it in your mobile really easily. You owe it to yourself to check out what they're all about at ultramaxpro.com and why so many groomers are excited. That's ultramaxpro.com. For over 30 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claims to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Contact your favorite Best Shot distributor or catalog to order some Max and Hair Hold Spray today, made from the best stuff on earth. What are you waiting for? Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. Many of you know Chrissy from the podcast, but a lot of you don't actually realize that she's a house call groomer, and that's really her way to make a living for the most part. I mean, the behavior thing's in there too, but a lot of your day is spent house call grooming, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's my repeat business, because dog training is always looking for new customers. And I do house call grooming. That's what puts a roof over my head. Well, half of the roof. My hubby does the other.
House call grooming is super fun and a very personal way to groom pets and really become part of the family. And we have a mutual friend, Laura Savello Hearn, who has written a really great book, Practical Guide to House Call Grooming. If you guys are really interested in becoming a house call groomer, I highly recommend Laura's book. But I thought that we would take the opportunity to pick Chrissy's brain and also for me to share my experiences, because this has been the year of house call grooming for me, with the trailer being broken so much of the time, that we could just kind of talk about house call grooming. House call grooming is grooming at the people's house. So you got to get there. You're going to travel to a location and you're going to groom at that location. It's low stress for the pets and really low stress for the owners, but it can be a challenge for the groomer because, quite frankly, we have a lot of gear to sort out. We carry a lot of shit. Ooh, I said a swear. There, now I'm playing the part of Barbara Bird. I didn't mean to do that, guys. So house call can also be a way when you're starting out and you don't have a lot of equipment that you can kind of dip your toe into taking some of what you're learning at school or at work and applying it to getting out there on your own once you have all your equipment and stuff. It's, you know, especially it's your family's dogs and it's your neighbor's dogs, and they call you up and they say, hey, can you come over and groom my dog? And you're learning everything at school or you're working at a job and you got your stuff, so you go over there and you work at their house. Well, it's kind of fun. I actually like it. So why did you become a house call groomer? Why did you choose that?
So I started house call grooming 20 years ago, and I think it mostly started off because I was like, I want to be my own boss, you know, and that's a nice way to do it. But I was working for a grooming shop, and I was also working as a vet tech. So some of that clientele was better suited for doing at home. And then I fell in love with it. It is so, so much fun. You have an entirely, entirely different relationship with that dog, an entirely different relationship with that owner. And the scheduling, I don't need to, if I want a Thursday afternoon off for a doctor's appointment, I just don't book anything. Nobody's looking for me, yeah, wondering if I'm there. I don't have to staff a location. You know, I just, my schedule is freed up in an entirely different way. Love it. Love it. But it's a lot of
what
stuff.
Is your, what, yes. What is your vehicle of choice? What do you use for your house call driving back and forth?
So I loved having a hatchback, but my hatchback died, and I was given, actually, by a house call customer, their mom's old Buick. And I've got, it was gifted to me. It's like, they're like, it's a 2003, it's 17 years old. It doesn't really have any value, but we know it's still a good car. It's only got 36,000 miles on it. Basically, she drove to the grocery store in her sister's house and hit her garage once a week.
That's funny.
The quarter panel's a little dicey. But so now I've got this big old Buick, this little old lady car.
Totally.
And, but all of my stuff fits in the back. And actually, I have a little divider in the back so that everything still just fits in nice and tight. It's a little puzzle. It interlocks in a particular way. But the hatchback was the best because just for ease of lifting things in and out.
I love my two-door Ford Explorer, the little Explorer that could for house call. It's right at the right level to pull stuff in and out. You've got just enough room, but not too much room, because too much room causes a whole other problem in its own self.
Yep, that's why you have to have the dividers up.
Yes.
Yep. I've had so many customers ask me, is that a recycle bin in the back? I'm like, that's just to keep my table from banging around.
Yep. It's so true. So I know of house calls that actually have done it like in the city where they don't even use a vehicle, but they haul all their stuff around with them. They travel with less stuff than I would. I also know people who put a truck out there and travel with a full truckload full of stuff, and the stuff sits in there and, you know. So you've got like this wide extreme of what you can do it in and how much stuff you bring in the house. Have you ever known anybody who's done house call without a car?
You know, there are a couple people on one of the Facebook groups I'm on that talk about they have a backpack and they're using like either the countertop with a rubber mat. And I'm like, you know, I could make it easier doing it, but I just love my tools.
I'm with you.
I like my tools. I like to carry my stuff.
Yep.
So I bring in two loads of equipment and my customers are used to two loads.
I was a three load person.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, I was a three-load person. So let's talk about that. What do you bring is like one of the big conundrums. And when you're first starting out, and when I had to go house call earlier this year, I had to resort out my stuff and decide what exactly I needed and what I didn't need. And it took me probably a week to get back into the rhythm of what I had when I was doing house call regularly. So you need a table or you don't need a table. Some people don't do it with a table. I like to have a table. Do you carry a table?
I do.
Yes, you do. You just told me that.
Well, right.
I am paying attention.
I groom small dogs that fit in the kitchen sink. So I have a small, one of the folding champion tables that I bought 20 years ago. That thing is still tooting along. If you're good to your equipment will last.
Oh, that's a fact.
But I've got this little table. But I also have a larger table. I have a couple larger dogs that I do brush outs on and stuff. And then now with COVID, when I was working outdoors, I was bringing that table to put my equipment on. So I had a dog table and then an equipment table. And it's kind of crazy. But yes, I bring a table.
Do you carry an arm with you also?
I do. I have one of the TableWorks folding arms because that's just a space saver.
Oh, those are nice.
Yeah, nice space saver. I have a palm mat that I put on my table for the dogs. I bring a dryer with me, a high-velocity dryer. I bring a dryer brush in with my equipment because I like the dryer brushes. Oh, those are a nice toy.
Barbara likes her dryer brushes.
Yep.
I should get one.
I like them.
Do you use a groomer's helper?
I don't, but I have it set up so that if I want to, I can use a secondary loop, but not an official groomer's helper. But I have the small TableWorks, and I don't think the small TableWorks arm will fit with the groomer's helpers.
So I have a groomer's helper on a post, on a cutoff grooming arm off to the side. So I've got that one, so I can use it as a cross tie. That's the only way I use it. otherwise, I just kind of have a loop up at the front if I want to attach the little noose, the loop.
The loop.
The ring.
Back in the 1900s when we called them nooses.
Yes. I did. That slipped out. Uh-oh, dating myself. The little ring that's on the bottom of the groomer's helper loop, I will use to attach the dog at one end just so that I'm not dealing with a lot of spinning. Spinning is one of those things that will push my buttons. If I don't have to deal with it just by that simple of an item, then I like to be hooked up in two spots anyway. I just think it's safer for me and the dog and everybody's attention. So you talked about the dryer. What dryer are you using?
Another case of if you're good to your equipment, they last forever. I have a double K force dryer that I bought almost 20 years ago. When I started this 20 years ago, that equipment is still running. I have a Chris Christensen Cool Pup dryer that I bring once in a while, but I just like the power of my double K. And then if I don't need power, I'm using my dryer brush, my little brush dryer thing.
So is it the little blue two-speed?
Two-speed.
I've got a Lang dryer, talk about old as well, that I got in 1998 or something
back
like that.
Back in the 1900s.
It's a two-speed dryer that was my very first dryer purchase when I started grooming because I was doing in-home grooming after work where I was learning to groom. And it has served me well. Once again, I haven't even ever replaced the brushes on that thing. It's still going strong. I use it as my loaner dryer. It's my backup dryer, and it is a solid, easy 15-amp dryer. So I don't need to worry about blowing circuits. And that is an important thing when you guys, if you're going to do house call and you're going to pick a dryer that's 15 amps, not one that's 17 amps. Quite frankly, grooming, we're power hogs and we need all the outlets. And if you're going in, remember a power strip. Always travel with a power strip. Do you travel with a power strip?
I do. I plug all my stuff into my own power strip. And then I also remind people that, you know, okay, where I'm plugging in, like, do you happen to know if it would blow a fuse if you used your vacuum cleaner? Because that's about the amount of power I'm going to draw from it. And they know if they have an outlet that's going to blow if they put a vacuum cleaner in it.
Yep, that's a good way to find out. What about a clipper vac? Do you bring a clipper vac? You're doing little dogs, maybe not such a big deal.
I love clipper vac. I do. But I have one of the little homemade versions with the shop vac. So basically I'm bringing in little 2.5 gallon shop vac with the adapter nozzles and stuff. And I do it. Yeah. I love clipper vac.
The clipper vac is one load. The clipper vac and then something in my right hand like my tool bag. That's one load. Clipper vac, tool bag. Bathing system and table are the second load. And then shampoo caddy and odds and ends are the third load to get me back in. Usually maybe the dryer hose if I've pulled it off or the dryer. Everything had handles. It was really nice. I didn't have that stuff because I gave it all away when I got the trailer 14 years ago. So I was really improvising hard when I went back to this. Do you do a bathing system with you? Do you take no, because you're doing in the sink bathing.
Yeah, I don't do a bathing system. I've thought about it over the years, like, should I add that? But then when you're in the sink with them, so I usually just mix my shampoos on site with Gatorade squirt bottles. The Gatorade squirt bottles have a nice, powerful squirt, and I bring them in the original bottle, like the original shampoo bottle, you know, mix them there.
Do you have a shampoo caddy in your car so you can make your choices that way, or do you choose before you leave the house?
I choose before I leave the house. And every once in a while, a customer forgets to tell me that there's some dry skin issue or something going on. And I'm like, oh, shoot. But usually I choose before I leave the house.
I have carried as many as 11 shampoos and conditioners with me in a caddy. I'd leave it in the car and I'd make my selections and I'd just take those selections in the side of the bucket I carried my recirculated bathing system in because I was doing larger dogs than would be appropriate to bathe in people's kitchen sinks because I tend to spray the water around a little bit. Maybe I'm not very good at keeping it in contained areas. So better for me to be in a laundry sink or somebody's bathroom. Even if I'm on my hands and knees, I don't like that, especially because dudes live at houses and toilets are by bathtubs, and that whole scenario is just disgusting to me. But I'll put a towel down and I'll kneel at the bed. But that's why I have the bathing system, because not everybody has a sprayer in their bath or shower. So sometimes you've got to be able to make your own water pressure or plug your own sink up or plug your own bathtub up. There's all these little variables that it takes you a little while to get that kit collected up. Speaking of the kit, what do you carry your basic grooming tools in?
I have a small toolbox, like one of the groomer toolboxes. I forget which one it is. That's terrible. But I think Cherry Brook sells them. It's pink and glittery and over the top glam. But I have one of those for my tools. But I also have a Husky rolling tote, one of the ones that you buy for. Oh. And that has my dryer in it and my shampoos, muzzles, like clipper oil, things like that. Those things are in there. And then my shop vac for my clipper vac and the hoses for all that stuff goes in another bag, and then my table.
I'm impressed. Two trips. That's good.
Two trips.
Yeah, I was always three trips. And when I was doing it 6 months ago, I was like five trips in the house because I kept forgetting stuff and I didn't know what I needed. And mostly it was COVID, so I was in people's garages and I had backed the truck up so that I had all my stuff right there in the back of the truck, because I threw everything from the trailer into the back of the Explorer when I left it at the repair shop last time. This time it's parked out front, so I'm actually able to use it, which is very, very helpful. So big tip. Here's a big tip. Do not spray silicone products in people's houses on their floors.
No.
Do not blow dry dogs with silicone products on them in people's houses on their floors, because it's very bad. It's very slippery. People can have a difficult time. You don't think of that, though. That's another thing you just don't think about until you're doing it and you slip on somebody's floor and then you go, oh, crap, now what do I do? And you're down there with your baby wipes and whatever else you can find, surface wipes, trying to clean their floor off so that the old people who live in the house don't hurt themselves. Oh, it's crazy.
The thing I found worked best for that, because I did it at my own house once on linoleum floor and my husband almost died because he slipped on it three times. But the thing I found worked best for trying to clean up the silicone was a glass cleaner.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah, it didn't take it out entirely, but it saved his life, which of course saved my life.
Absolutely. Have you seen those really cool portable tubs that you can unfold and stand up in the back? Those look really cool. Have you ever used one?
No. I did have one customer who wanted a bath and she had a larger dog, and she bought one of the booster bath things for me to use at her house because she was using them too. But if I were going to do large dogs, I would ask people to buy one of those on their own. Like, instead of me bringing it back and forth.
Yeah.
It's like,
I didn't even know they existed. They're really cool. Some of the house call groomers really love them. You can set them up in the shower or in a bathtub. You set half of it outside the bathtub and half of it inside the bathtub. And it's got a drain and you can plug it up. And yeah, wow, new stuff coming along all the time. Don't ever close your mind off to the new stuff coming out. So how do you pick which room to groom in?
I like to groom in the kitchen or a laundry room. But I just find there's more natural light and being able to walk around a little bit. I don't like grooming in bathrooms. Everybody's bathroom is so small.
Oh, I know.
I'm the one who would slip in a bathtub trying to walk around a table and die.
My trailer's a little like grooming in a bathroom. It's pretty small.
And I used to work on a grooming van. And, I know how I can move around in a small space. And like a galley kitchen I can still move around in. But I just know in a bathroom, like with that tub there, yeah, I'm going to trip, kill myself in a tub. As it is now, if you find out that I died grooming, it's probably slipping on someone's scatter rug. That's how I'm going to die.
Oh, yeah. Those are a hazard.
And some of these people, I think they're playing the floor is lava. Like their house is just this continuous like scatter rug, scatter rug, scatter rug, scatter rug. I'm like, I'm going to die.
Oh, man. Yeah, the best case scenario when you get to somebody's house the first time is if they actually have a grooming room. And it happens, doesn't it? It happens.
Oh, my gosh. Hold on to them. They're precious.
It's like you have made it. You're there. Don't ever leave. Keep those people no matter what. I had a person moved to a new house and they built a grooming area for me. They consulted me on what to put in. They put in bathtubs for their dogs. It was fantastic. And then they moved across the state to Lake Chelan. It was very sad. I miss them very much. Louie actually probably talked about Louie on the podcast before they left. They were pretty cool. Aww. Anyway, last subject, of course, is always the last subject. What about cleanup?
So cleanup, I try to keep everything really clean, which is part of what I love about ClipperVac. But also, like, if I'm doing, a double-coated little dog, I have a mosquito net that one of the crib covers that I put over my table, and I can dry them into this mosquito net. Oh, I forget who posted that, but...
Wow, that's brilliant.
Thank goodness they posted it, because it works great. And then because it's meant for being over a crib, it has this elastic base, so everything's getting loosened up from the dryer, it's blowing off, and it's pooling at the bottom of this, and it's just over my table. Love it.
Wow, that's cool.
But I do tell people, like, I'll try to keep your house as clean as possible, but, I mean, it's dog grooming and it's messy, but they're okay with it. I do like to do the bath first. Any hair that's going to be flying around is at least clean hair.
That's what I tell them, too. That's great advice. If they're having me come to their house to groom, I've never had anybody really object to the mess. And I've left some bad bathtub messes with some de-shedding that I did inside the house that I didn't think about way back in the beginning. But even those people didn't complain. They always provided me with towels anytime I asked for them. But as you know, we have a wonderful sponsor on the podcast. That's the Absorber Towel.
Love my Absorbers.
Oh my God, if I'd have had the Absorber Towels when I started house call grooming, I might never have wanted to have a trailer because it makes life so much easier. Thanks, Absorber Towel. Thanks, Erica. We really appreciate you guys. Okay, let's take a quick break and then we're going to go back to school. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Well, now I'm going to ask you to change your hat from Chrissy, the house call groomer, to Chrissy, the behavior consultant.
Okie dokie.
And we're going to talk about rewards. I think that people have kind of a misconception about what a reward is or what potential rewards can be. It's not always a cookie, right?
Yep, so cookies are a way to give the dog a reward if they like cookies and if they like them in that context. But some dogs, as we know in dog grooming, they're already overwhelmed and they are not interested in the cookie. So sometimes we have to think outside the box and think, what does this dog want? What does this dog like? And what can we use as a reward? And there are lots of different things that we can do. One could just be to check in with them again. I think we sometimes we forget that, like, look, make some eye contact, like, hey, Sparky, hi. And that, for some dogs, is like, oh, good, all right, so relieve some pressure, they're talking to me, everything's nice again. But also, reward could be backing off and giving them a break. And it's a really powerful reward, which I think is why Susie asked the question.
Yes, both of those are huge. Actually, I use the first one regularly to make sure that I'm aware of what's going on with the dog, to really check in with the dog. I stop grooming and I give them a pat on the head and I use their name and I just physical touch them as in a positive way, just not grooming, but just give them a pet in a spot that I know they like, or rub their ears or their special spot between their eyes or whatever it is that I know that relaxes. I just take a moment, or if I'm doing something that's uncomfortable, I back off. And I can see physically on the body of the dog that it's a reward. And it's important not to just go to the cookies. I don't use cookies until the very end of the groom. Everybody wants one at the end of the groom, but they don't really help me during the groom very much, only on a few dogs.
You know, I like it if they're able to take them. Like, because as a house call groomer, I usually don't have to worry about other dogs in the room. But because I started off as a groomer in grooming shops where that's just not safe, you know, that I don't rely on them. But if I'm at somebody's house and they're able to use rewards, I just make sure that they're giving the cookies when I tell them to. So I will have the owner give a cookie because they want to, but I'm like, now you can give them a cookie. Now you can give them a cookie. So they're not allowed to just give cookies freestyle whenever they want to.
Isn't it funny when you get to a house and the person is getting ready to give you the dog and they're doing the, oh, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And then they pull out the crappy, what are those, bacon treat things, and they're trying to feed the dog the bacon treat as they're freaking it out, almost ready to hand it to you. That's gotta be bad dog psychology or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, and sometimes they're thinking, I know what they're thinking. They're thinking, I will distract you. But distractions aren't necessarily a good plan for dogs because dogs don't like being tricked. I don't like being tricked. I don't want to be distracted unless I know what's happening first. So there's, I kind of consider it like consensual distraction. Like, okay, dude, I'm going to do this thing. But look, somebody's petting you. You go ahead, let mommy pet you while, you know, I put this, you know, eye ointment in or something. You know what I mean? Like, usually it's a medical thing if you're doing this, like, okay, someone can distract you while I put a band-aid on, you know, like whatever it is.
Yeah.
But owners want to distract and they just think if they make it fun peanut butter time, everything's going to be great. But that's not realistic for grooming.
I often use treats as a test to see how comfortable the dog is once they're in my bathtub right before the bath, but the door is closed and mom is out of sight. How comfortable are they with the process? I pull out, I use freeze-dried liver, tries to be, you know, kind of safe-ish that way, just beef liver with no other ingredients. And the dogs seem to love it, although oftentimes my owners will go out and buy those and the dogs won't touch them. So it has something to do with me and having to do something to earn the treat. But yeah, when I put them in the bathtub for the first couple times and I see if they're going to eat a treat. I don't use it during the process, but I use it as a test sometimes. So backing off is definitely the biggest reward, you said, and I totally agree with that. How do we use that when we're grooming?
So there are a couple ways we can use that. When I'm holding a dog and I know that they're a little bit nervous, well, first of all, I'm testing the entire time, trying to keep them calm, comfortable, and cooperative. Like, that's something I'm saying 1,000 times over and over again. But if we can prevent them from becoming fearful, then we can prevent all of that chemical reaction that goes with it, the adrenaline response, epinephrine, cortisol levels. We can just, like, keep them calm. But if we're playing around with keeping them calm, then we can also just kind of assess, like, okay, are you wiggly? Can you just wibble wobble? If I press against you, are you rigid or are you loose? And that's a big important one too. But then you can just back off. Like when they're loose, back off. It's beautiful. It's like, oh, just boop, back off. If I can get them loose and relaxed. And then the way to use that is when you're, say, holding a paw and that dog has been a little bit worried about the paw. While they're being relaxed, let go. Like, give them breaks while they're being relaxed so that they don't start to feel like, if I struggle a little bit, or I struggle more, or I struggle more. But it's really hard to get groomers to stop thinking about, but he's relaxed and good and I can continue.
Yeah, it's the opposite, right? It's the opposite. He's relaxed and good. Time for a reward.
Reward. Yeah, reward the thing you want. Then you can just put the foot down, pick it up again. There's a really good chance he's going to be like, oh, okay, I can be still for this. And so sometimes I think we just want to go for it. We're like, he's finally still, you know, and oh, well, he was good because I was able to get it done. But was he having trouble?
Another reward can just be going to a different area on the dog that doesn't stress him out. Like if brushing or scissoring the feet doesn't make the dog uncomfortable, you could back off and do that, right?
I think that's part of the give him a break part of a reward, because I think sometimes when I say give them a break, people are like, so what, just put them in a cage, like take them off the table? Like, no, work around a different area. There are so many areas to work around. There is no reason why we have to do the left front foot start to finish when we've got so many other areas on a dog to work on, you know. But it takes a little bit of thought.
Yeah, it does. It takes thought and it takes changing of habits, because so often we're so focused in on getting the job done rather than thinking about the future of the job, which is how do we make the dog accept the icky stuff we have to do, you know, instead of fighting us. And I also love that the point of releasing the dog's foot, because when you mentioned that, I don't know how many weeks ago you mentioned that on the podcast, I started to do that. And a lot of my dogs just are totally cool with me letting go of their foot.
Yeah, it's the neatest thing, isn't it? Like, you got to kind of trust them a little bit, you know? Thinking about, like, your horse experience. So I have horse experience and also cattle. I worked on a dairy farm for a while in high school. When you work with the larger animals, when they start to become worked up, you naturally calm them down. We know we can't overpower them.
Yeah,
yet we don't do that with dogs. We try to overpower dogs. We're like, what if I truss him up in a different way? What if I tie him down some new way or clamp down harder because I know I can get it? But if you think some of that larger animal experience and you're like, if that's not available to us, what do? We calm them down again. And we need to just do that with our dogs. Treat them like they're cats.
I love it. Perfect. Okay, let's take one more quick break and we'll be back with our segment about effective use of words in table training. So, Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypo conditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about show season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources. And yeah, no, they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. So we often rely on our voices to guide and train the dogs on our table, but there are some phrases that might be best left out of our vocabulary. I mostly use a combination of touch and voice because my table is stagnant against the wall and I'm constantly having to move the dogs around the table. And if I use my hands to move them around like the dogs move each other around and I add my voice in, eventually I can drop my hands out of the thing and they just churn because of my voice. But I try to use the correct terms for me, so repetitive terms that I'm going to use, but there are some words that you don't kind of want to rely on.
So there are a couple that I tell people to avoid, only because after so many years of doing this and going into people's homes and seeing how these words are used, they aren't very useful for us in the grooming setting. And one of those words is no. And I know somebody out there is like, what? We have to use no. But the thing is that for most owners, when they say no, that means the dog goes away. It doesn't necessarily mean any one thing. Like, they just want to interrupt a behavior. Or maybe it means one thing, and it means don't get in the trash, which isn't a context we're using. But if they're thinking, like, somebody said no, that means they're mad, I should run off, and I want to run off, but I'm on a table, and they're mad at me that I want to run off, and now I can't run off. It all just circles around. It can create frustration that we don't need to have there. When what we're really trying to do when we say a word like no, is we're trying to express, I am upset with what you have just done. And if it doesn't decrease the behavior that we were just seeing, then it wasn't a punishment. It was just adding unpleasant to unpleasant and toppling over this unpleasant. And so sometimes I think we're in the habit of saying it, and it's just not helpful. Not helpful at all.
The term "it's falling on deaf ears" comes to mind, because sometimes you're in a house and you hear the owner saying, no, 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 no. It just goes over over.
Yep, because that's the other thing too. It means nothing for a lot of dogs. Some dogs, it means absolutely nothing. And you're like, well, I can't use that word here because I'm watching, you know, four people chant no for 2 hours.
So what other options do we have? What's a better choice?
If what we're trying to do is help a dog be calm, comfortable, and cooperative, because I'm going to circle back to that as often as I can. It's part of my message in general is, we want to build the behaviors we do want, right? So if a dog is being squirmy or overly silly or starting to be aggressive or starting to have a behavior we don't want, we can focus more on calming them down again. And that doesn't mean like, oh, sweetie, I love you. Like, it could, but it could also just be like, hey, let's simmer down, you know, and whatever words you use, but more so, just the confidence and quiet confidence that you can bring to its grooming table. Like, I need you to chill out, little buddy, you know, and help them be calm. But frankly, if they're already worked up and they're trying to snap at you, there is no word for that. Like, it's not, words are things that have been taught. So if you're going to teach a word, it should be something useful. Like, I don't want to teach my dog a don't do that. I want to teach him exactly what I want them to do. Because otherwise, it's a huge honk and waste of time. Honk, honk, honk and waste of time.
What are other words that owners will often use that then become not helpful for us?
I don't use good an awful lot on the grooming table for the same reason. Because for a lot of owners, good means now you get a cookie. And if I'm not giving cookies, now we have a frustrated dog. Like, I might as well have said bacon and didn't give him anything.
Yeah, that was a mean trick.
Or good means you're done. Like, so if you watch at a customer's interaction with their dog, and the dog, they say sit, and the dog sits, and they say good, and the dog pops out of that sit, right?
Sure.
Good means you're done. Yeah, so if they're on the grooming table, and you're like, okay, I'm going to touch this ear, and you've got a clipper on the ear, and you're like, good, and the dog's like, I'm out of here. And you're like, what just happened, you know? So it's not particularly useful, but I train my own little words with them while I'm working, and sometimes I have to ask owners to not use those words. But I'll tend to switch it up to something like nice in place of good. That they just start learning that Chrissy says this thing when I happen to be doing this thing. And sometimes it leads to this thing, which is all what words are. Thing to thing to thing. They link ideas.
I love it. Oh, this has been so much fun. I totally dig taking behavior classes from you every week on creating great grooming dogs. I can't thank you enough for putting that podcast out. You are doing the Wisconsin Stylist Invitational with Barbara and I. We're all going to be, by the time you guys hear this podcast, it may very well have happened, but if I happen to get it out, which is possible, actually, quite likely that this will come out right before that. Hopefully we'll see you in our classes there. But Chrissy speaks all over the place. But most importantly, you can get to her on Facebook. You can email her. You can listen to her podcast and not even have to ever talk to her in person and still just soak up all the knowledge from creating great grooming dogs. I'm telling you, it's well worth it. Chrissy, tell everybody the actual places they can find you.
So I believe my podcast is everywhere you can find podcasts. And if you find one that I'm missing on, you let me know, because I'm trying to be on everything. So from iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of them, Podbean, all of them. Or if you are not really tech savvy, you can also listen at my website, creatinggreatgroomingdogs.com. So some of the grooming world isn't tech savvy yet, so that's where you can send your friends.
Hey, I can't thank you enough for playing the part of Barbara today. Barbara thanks you for playing the part of Barbara so she could finish the PowerPoint that we're going to be delivering next week. So Chrissy, I really appreciate you being a listener more than anything else. And I'm so happy to have discovered your podcast. And I hope everybody on the Groom Pod listens. And I guess that's going to be it. We're going to wrap it up right there. Then we will be back here next week, just like every other week on the Groom Pod. At least I think we will.
Well, thank you very much.
Happy grooming, everybody. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.